We thank God for the choir and the praise band. Let me share with you just one portion from Luke, the second chapter and the 11th verse. And we thank God that our scripture has already been read, but listen to these words from the gospel according to Luke. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. I want to share with you the title of my sermon for this morning, Gift Wrapping. Gift Wrapping. Look to your neighbor and say the title with me. Gift Wrapping. Amen. Amen. Do you remember the title of the last anthem? Anthem, of course, the last song by the choir. They just finished singing. Can we put it back up, Steve? Maybe we're a little slow. I know you have to make adjustments because you're not in your assigned seat. It says what? Say it again. Well, if you come to Christmas Eve tomorrow night, you're going to hear this angel sing. All right, all right, all right. You want to get here early. You want to get here early. Brad, I'm going to have my coming out party tomorrow night. Amen. That's not a joke. Okay. I want to talk about gift wrapping. Gift wrapping. Some of you are experts at it. Some of you really know how to do it extremely well. Others are still working on it. And continue to work. I'm along with you in that line. But if you look at the scriptures and how God works everything in order, and nothing's new under the heavens, if you have your Bibles, look at Philippians, the second chapter and the 7th verse, and it reminds us, bless you, it reminds us that Jesus wrapped himself in the form of human skin and came to us as the greatest gift ever given to humankind. Amen? I mean, just look at this banner here. Jesus, the greatest gift. He's the only baby who was born to die in order for you and I to have a right to the tree of life. Amen? To God be the glory. Let's give God some praise. Amen. Last Sunday, I shared with you as it recalls to how we get to Christmas and from Christmas to Easter and how Christmas and Easter dominates what we know as the liturgical calendar. Now, we have some visitors. You're going to have to share all that information with them. I talked about the vernal equinox that works extremely well when we talk about Easter and how we just count back the Sundays, and it helps us as we shape to what we have witnessed this morning in lighting as the Harrison family lit the Advent wreath and the candle of love. And how important that is to our spiritual journey and our lives and why we do what we do as a church. And how in 325 AD, when Constantine was converted to Christianity, he called together what was known at then as the Council of the Nicenes. And they came together and helped shape what we have today and help us as Christians to solidify and have the oneness as we acknowledge the various Christian seasons, not worldly, Christian seasons of the year. I shared with you as it relates to David Boyd how he starts with Advent and he carries us all the way through Pentecost, and you'll see it now on the screen and how he works with us as it gives us the various seasons of the year. It's so important for us as Christians to know why we do what we do. Amen? Now, you witness these folks who came up and who joined the church. They can tell you a whole lot about what we do and why as it relates to the Christian family. But I want to talk about, as it relates to gift wrapping, gift wrapping. How many of you are experts? Come on, we're in church. You can be honest. Yeah, you just do an awesome job. Now, in this day and time, you can kind of leap over doing gift wrapping. And you can buy a nice bag, and it can have a religious symbol. Yeah, that's me. It says, thanks be to God for his incredible, indescribable gift. I mean, that works out extremely well. Or you can just get a little box. This box has been up here all week. You can get a little box here. Or you can beat that and you can get gift cards. How many of you just love gift cards? Yeah. But a person who takes their time, and I'm not going to undo this. It wouldn't be right to do that. They take the time, they fold it neatly, and they make sure the tape is on there, and it's all nice and dandy. Well, look at the first point in our sermon notes. If you have your sermon notes, look at there. There goes Santa and Mrs. Claus, and they're in the balcony right there. I see you. All right. Henley and Carissa White. Yeah. Do you enjoy wrapping Christmas gifts? Ask your neighbor that question. Do you enjoy wrapping Christmas gifts? Yeah. Many of you, like myself, we like to take our time and do our own thing, and we like to be quick, and we're more accountable with our time. I don't know about you, but I don't never, when I think about it, I don't think Dr. Seuss had me in mind when he was writing How the Grinch Stole Christmas. I don't think he had you in mind. I don't think Charles Dickens had in mind you or me when he was sitting down there and he was writing Christmas Carol. I can imagine that Clement Moore did not have us in mind when he was sitting writing Towards the Night Before Christmas. And all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care in hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. I don't think they had us in mind, but thanks be to God this morning. God had us in mind when he told the angel to go down to Bethlehem and appear before some shepherds in a field by night. And he wanted to share some good news. Now, if you notice the backdrop of the setting, it's very clear. It was the first century. And the first century, they had political unrest, political turmoil. Things were not going extremely well. Oh, we can identify with that, can't we? Yeah. The government shut down. But we also can identify with politically unrest here in Flagler County. And so we've heard about the bad news, but the good news is right here with the shepherds. These shepherds were told where exactly they could find the Savior of the world. This was not the exact group that you would think for a moment that God would come and share the good news. The shepherds were considered the outcasts, those who were at the bottom of the totem pole, if you will. But God, in his own divine, infinite wisdom, God did not go to those who were high in government. He didn't even go to those who were priests in the temple. But he meets ordinary shepherds watching their sheep by night. God lower the playing field that everyone can come and experience this baby that Mary was having, and this baby that would bring joy to the world. The hymnologist said it well. If you have your hymn books, look at hymn number 242. He says, love came down at Christmas. Love so loving, love so divine. Love was the sign that the stars and the angels shared. Today is the Sunday that we acknowledge as the fourth Sunday of Advent, acknowledge as love. Let me share this litany with you as it relates to David Board sharing from Advent to Pentecost. And those of you who felt it was so good, I wanted to share it again. And if you want to copy it and text it or tweet it and send it out to the world and those online, feel free. It's extremely important because Advent says he's coming. Christmas, he's here. Epiphany that we celebrate in January, who is he? Lent, who am I? Holy Week, what it costs. Easter, he's risen. And Pentecost, what? His love and our response. God is looking for us to respond to his love, his unconditional love that he has for you and for me. How many of you love just receiving Christmas gifts? Come on, we're in church. You can be honest. Yeah. I'm reminded of a little boy. Little boy about Aiden's age. Aiden started looking up now. He's right there. And that little boy, Tony, he pestered his family. Amber, he pestered his family. I want to watch. I want to watch. And that's all he kept saying. I want to watch. I want to watch. And this family, just like the Bonham family right here, they would always go to church on Sunday. They would pray together. Christmas Eve, they had a ritual that they would share. At Christmas time, they would have dinner, and they would read the scriptures. His daddy got tired of him saying, I want to watch, I want to watch. His daddy said, if you say that, I'm going to make sure Santa doesn't give you a watch. I don't want to hear it again. I'm tired of it. Been saying it for the last 2 months. Well, it was Christmas Eve. And lo and behold, that little boy, Aiden, he decided he had a plan. He wasn't able to say he wanted a watch anymore. And he asked that night, he raised his hand and said, can I read the scriptures? He turned to Luke, the 13th chapter, and he read where it says, men ought to watch and pray. That boy got that watch the next morning. There's nothing like Christmas, nothing like the celebration. Nothing like the season, but it reminds us of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And how Jesus came into the world to save you and me. Celebrate Christmas. Enjoy family times and enjoy babies coming into our lives. But remember, it's about Jesus Christ, not only as a baby, but he's the Savior of the world. He came to save us, to redeem us, to keep us in right relationship with God. I want to call to your attention and ask you to look around here in this sanctuary. There are babies that you can spot. Look at these beautiful babies. Check out the babies. Got a dad holding a baby. Who has the baby over here now? All right, the grandmother has the baby, you remember, with the University of Alabama. Yeah. Sorry about that, Oklahoma fans. It's just something about a baby. Do we have a baby in the balcony? Yeah, I see you pointing. Oh, look at that baby. All right. All decked out, ready for Christmas. It's just something about a baby. A baby comes into our lives and into our environment to make a difference. In fact, I want to call your attention as it relates to this baby in the text. It was Mary's baby. This little poverty-stricken girl, this little poor girl, was placed at the very center of history. Man hadn't even heard from heaven for over 400 years. And God breaks the silence by saying, Hail Mary, I want to use you. And the angels tells the shepherds where they can find the baby. And this baby is what? Laying in a where? In a manger. So I want to ask you the question, what does it mean that baby Jesus was wrapped? Not in his best attire, but in what? Swaddling clothes. Well, look at this right here. Well, that's my grandbaby, but look at the definition. Read the definition with me. It's so important for us to remember. Let us read together. swallowing clothes or cloth. Hold on a second. I got my cool out group. Dr. White, you're going to have to help me. I see my young people not reading. Yeah, y'all got to help me in the balcony. Get your hands down. All right, here we go. We're going to do it together. Here we go. Bill, help me on this side, right behind you. Thank you. Want to make sure everybody reading. All right, here we go. Swaddling clothes are cloths and bands used in the practicing of swaddling, or essentially wrapping an infant tightly in cloth. The idea behind swaddling is that it helps the baby transition from the womb, a very snuggled place, to the outside world. We place those babies in those clothes tightly. Look in the text. Let me read it again. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and laying in a what? In a manger. They did that because they didn't want the baby to scratch himself or herself, or even allow diseases to get on the baby. You look closely on my left and see how Theo is holding his baby. You look back there, the grandmother hasn't released that baby yet. But we hold those babies tightly. Jesus wants us to embrace him. Not that we might hold him, but that he might hold us very tightly. It's about the Savior of the world coming to save you and me. In fact, I want to haste along by calling your attention to the next bullet point. Is this bullet point, and that's Lynn, baby. Do you enjoy unwrapping heaven's gift? Ask your neighbor that question. I'm getting ready to close. Yeah. Do you enjoy unwrapping heaven's gift? Heaven's gift is printed right here in God's word. If you look in your Bibles and look at John 3:16, you'll see it here. It's a very familiar scripture. It reminds us what? For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. It's because of his love that he loves us over and over again, even when we're not lovable. Amen? He wants us to unwrap this gift, not to just hold on to it. Have you ever received a gift and you're holding that gift and you're shaking it and you're praying that you like it? And then when you open that gift and it's not something you like, you play it off and say, oh, thanks for the thought. Yeah. But he wants to give us the best gift ever given to humankind. The next point is this point, to help you in your sermon notes. God's unspeakable gift. It is God's unspeakable gift. Forgiveness of sin, the redemption of sin, everlasting life and love, his Holy Spirit and his glorious what? Church, the church universal. God wants to give that to you and to me. But the last point is this, as I get ready to close. Can you recall your favorite Christmas gift? That question was asked at the Sunday school class last week. And you remember I answered that question, and for me, it was the electric football men. That's the gift I wanted. I didn't want to watch like that little boy. That's what I wanted. Because everybody else had one. But that's not my greatest gift. My greatest gift, I never will forget, is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Oh, I can remember dates. I can recall when I met my wife. I can recall when I married my wife. I can recall when I had my first child and my second child. I can recall when I had my grandson and then my granddaughter. I can recall when I came to this church. But my greatest gift in life is when I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. That's my greatest gift. And I hope that's your greatest gift. that you have accepted him as your Lord and Savior and you're willing to live for him. It doesn't mean I get everything right. You can just ask Linda. But it means I'm forgiven through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And every day is a learning experience and I grow more in his grace. You may never forgive me, but thanks be to God, he was willing to forgive me by dying on Calvary's rugged cross for my sins and your sins. Why did he do it? Because of love. Because of love. The hymnologist is correct. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me. Praise be to God for his unspeakable gift. In Jesus' name, hallelujah and amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. God loves each and every one of us. If you never accepted Jesus Christ, we open up the doors of the church. You're welcome to come and be a part of God's family. Let us stand as we sing this great hymn of the church. Oh, how I love Jesus, because he first loved me.